Welcome to A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. For our Bible study, I want to read to us, first of all, the first chapter of the book of Daniel in its entirety. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem, and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand, with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shinar, to the house of his God. And he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel, and of the king's seed, and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well favored, skillful in all wisdom, cunning in knowledge, and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat, and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now among these of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Mishael, Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make me endanger my head to the king. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, Prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat, and as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented to them in this matter, and proved them 10 days. And at the end of the 10 days their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus Melzar took away the portion of their meat, and the wine that they should drink, and gave them pulse. And as for these 4 children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams. Now at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar. And the king communed with them, and among them all was found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. And in all matters of wisdom and understanding that the king inquired of them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and astrologers that were in all his realm. And Daniel continued even unto the first year of King Cyrus. Now this was an important chapter in the Bible. It had to do with some of the servants of God. The time of our lesson, the people of Judah were in captivity, in Babylonian captivity. Northern Israel had already been carried away by the Assyrians some 125-35 years before. And now the people of Judah were carried away in 3 stages. The first was under the king Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah. The second then was under Jehoiachin, the grandson of Josiah. And the last was under Zedekiah, also another son of Josiah. But Daniel and his three friends were among those that were taken in the first deportation. Now, Daniel was among the young men selected for special training by the Babylonians, and he was selected because they observed him, and he possessed qualities that made him good material. There was good potential. He was without blemish. He must have been strong physically and well-favored. He was one that got along well with others. He was skillful. He was wise. He had a better-than-average knowledge and understanding. He was a very outstanding young man, the kind of man who could stand before the king with composure. He was a young man of great promise and potential to be of great help to Nebuchadnezzar, alongside the others that were also chosen. But we want to study about Daniel. Involved in his training was the change of his name. Daniel's name was changed to Belteshazzar. Now that sounds like the later king of Babylon, King Belshazzar, but it's not to be confused with King Belshazzar. Daniel's name was Belteshazzar. And also in his training, it included a certain diet, certain food, certain drink that was set before them at the king's command. And they were taught the Chaldean or Babylonian language and the Babylonian ways. It was with regard, however, to their diet, where we see manly characteristics of this young lad come to the surface. Now, Daniel, of course, was a Jew. Being a Jew, there were certain foods forbidden him to eat. If he ate them, he would defile himself. The law of the Lord had spoken that. He was forced, therefore, now to make a choice. This food was set before him, and this was what he was supposed to eat. But if he ate, he would violate God's law. And if he did not eat, he ran the risk of disfavor of those who had captured him. And of course, with that, there would be unknown, indeed uncertain consequences that would follow in his disobedience to those who had captured him. But let us understand the very nature of the alternatives that Daniel faced. He had to make a choice. He could go both ways. He could eat or not eat. But it was not left to Daniel to decide what was right and what was wrong as far as the eating of the food was concerned. God's law had already decided that. And it was not a question of knowledge with Daniel as to what he should do, because he knew the law of God. He knew that the food set before him by the Babylonians would defile him. The question before Daniel was simply this: would he obey God, or would he obey the instructions of the king, which would cause him to violate the law of God? He was faced with a decision, folks, that's very much the same kind of decision confronting people today. You see, God has already decided what is right and what is wrong, and God has revealed in His Word what is right and what is wrong. God has already given man the guidance that he needs to serve God acceptably. Now, many times people know what God has said, and they simply must decide, who will I serve? In the comfort and security of our situations, we may sometimes first think that Daniel's decision certainly must have been an easy one. Why, he knew that he ought to obey God. There's no problem in that. But now, wait just a minute. You consider the measures and the pressures upon him. You know, he could have reasoned, and this is the reason I bring this up, is because this is what some people think. Here I am in a strange land. Here I am under difficult circumstances. I'm not here by choice. This whole matter is being forced upon me. What else can I do except to simply comply with the wishes of the Babylonians? And the king's servants had commanded it. Dare he defy them? And he had already been told that he would not only risk himself, he would risk others if he disobeyed their instructions. And furthermore, if he went along with this and ate the food that the king provided, who would ever know? What did it really matter? It seemed to be such a small thing, possibly in the eyes of some. And as he looked round about, it seemed that almost everyone else was going along with what was commanded. Why should he be different? How he should have considered this is a matter of great importance to us. He could have considered this thing, well, I'll just do it once. I'll just go along with the king for a while. And then after a while, things will ease up, and then I will obey God. Well, all of these excuses and these rationalizations that he could have had, it could have been suggested by him, and the reason I mention them is because these are the same kind of pressures facing people today when it comes to the matter of obeying God. People must make a decision, but as they look round about, they see a lot of people deciding not to serve God. They see a lot of people prospering who do not serve God. They see a lot of people seemingly happy that do not serve God. And after all, is it really all that important that we obey God? Will not God simply overlook our disobedience? You know, sometimes people get the idea that young people are pressured by their peers and by various situations. Well, they certainly are. Young people are pressured by those round about them, and they are so inclined to want to be pleasing to those round about them. But let's understand, friend, these pressures upon young people, it's not just upon young people. These are pressures that follow us all the days of our life. And if we do not learn to handle them while we're young, we will likely be subverted by them somewhere down the line. It is so important that we look at our decisions in the light of what God would have us to do. Daniel was a captive. He was brought over here into Babylon. He had certain things that he was called upon to do. Some of them he could do without any problem. He could be trained in the languages of the Babylonians and some of their customs and their ways and their government. And after all, that was what he was going to be used for. But there were other things that he could not do and still be pleasing to God. Dear friend, we must look at our life as we live our lives in this time, and we must make decisions. Which way will we go? Will we obey God, or will we obey the world round about and succumb ourselves to the pressures to do that which is evil in the sight of the Lord? Well, we're going to study about Daniel again in our next study, and we're going to see how that Daniel, he showed himself a man. This is A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.